Welcome back to Cork Food Stories podcast. I'm Clara Cooney, owner of Clara Cooks. I do everything from makeovers in your kitchen, teaching you how to cook, whether it's one-on-one classes or group fun nights with friends and family, and also have a private chef service for your in-home entertaining. On top of this, I love the chats and talking about anything and everything food. We are already starting series four, where I'm going to be talking to business owners who in the past few years took a leap of faith just like I did and followed their passion to set up their food-related business. The first of my guests is Siobhan Quirk from Inishannon in County Cork. Siobhan graduated in 2004 with a degree in economics and French and went on to have a great corporate career in marketing and finance, which we'll talk to her in a moment about. Now, I know all about making that big decision to move away from the security of a corporate role and go into setting up your own business following your passion. It's not easy, and I take my hat off to everybody who does it. And last year, Siobhan did just that by setting up the Quirky Kitchen, a fabulous food truck currently based in Inishannon in Cork. Hi, Siobhan.
Hi, Clara. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks a million for coming on today. I know you're a busy lady at the moment, so it's good to have the chat.
Yes.
So Siobhan, you grew up in Inishannon, and I know now you went away for a while and stuff like that, but you're back again to your roots. But tell us a little bit, I suppose, about your time growing up there. I mean, I know you spent a lot of time on your granny's farm and in the kitchen, like many of us Irish girls did, learning how to cook through our moms and our grannies. Were they also in the business of food, or, you know, what was that like for you growing up?
Oh, I had a glorious, idyllic childhood, really, looking back. As you said, I spent loads of time in my granny's kitchen on their farm in Farnahone and Shannon. So I would just spend hours watching my mother and my grandmother cooking and baking, and everything was just fresh and local and fresh from the farm, organic free-range eggs. They had a hen coop. They had all their own hens, and they actually they weren't, as you asked there, were they in business, but they were just industrious, hardworking farmers. So they used to sell their eggs into O'Donovan's, you know, the butcher there and all at Princes Street. They used to send their eggs in there. They used to butter them, and then they'd send them in. I think they got it was something 3 pence a dozen at the time.
Unbelievable.
For the eggs. And then they had turkeys as well at Christmas time that they'd send into O'Donovan's as well, and they used to give them actually as well to Collins's Barracks, you know, the army camp in Cork. And they were just really inventive, creative, hardworking, and I think that really impacted on me and just always instilled a real excitement and passion about food. And it's always been in the back of my mind. It was always something that I wanted to get into, but just never kind of was the right moment up until now.
I know exactly, of course, how you're, you know, where it is. I'm the exact same. Grew up in a family that cooking and baking. My grandfather was a baker. My great grandfather had an organic vegetable farm. There was pigs running around. There was hens running around, and we were always in the kitchen. I mean, it just was a natural thing. We adored it, really, and I loved it. And but like you, I don't know. Is it? Maybe because in Ireland, being a female and starting your own business and chefing really wasn't something that was nearly given to us as a choice as a female when I was in school. Anyway, that was for sure. We kind of go on to do the other corporate things, but always keeping it in the back of your mind. So,
my mom was a chef as well for a while in the industry.
Wow, amazing. Oh, was she?
Yes. Yeah, she was the breakfast chef there for a number of years. So, I used to spend loads of time down there as well. And just my mother's me, I learned so much from my mother over the years. She's just never faffs around, and it's done. And so she's so quickly, so creative. And just, she's really the one who inspired me to get into food. Everything centered around food and cooking.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, really, during the summer, we'd make picnics. And we'd Yeah, it was just the childhood of dreams, and learned so much from my mother as well, just by osmosis, really.
Yeah.
Just absorbed all her energy and creativeness, and that's definitely coming to the fore now, finally, eventually. It only took me about 30 years to
Likewise, Siobhan, likewise. Yeah. We're here now, isn't that it?
Exactly, better late than never.
Exactly, but... So, like, after school, because you went on to study at in UCC, and, you know, you did economics and French there, and you had a great career as well. So tell us all about, you know, your studies and your career and your travels through your career.
So, as you said, I went to UCC, I studied French and economics. I've always had a real fascination with France. I think it kind of stemmed from secondary school. I had an amazing French teacher. She was so passionate. I think these teachers at that age really impact your decisions down the line. So when I was studying French, I really enjoyed the kind of French literature and culture side, and that's I think where I got more of a fascination of the culture. So having, and obviously I did economics as well, and just totally different. So after completing my degree, I was working in Brown Thomas. That's from another, I call it my three F's: food, fashion and finance. So a friend of mine was over in France, and I was working in Brown Thomas, and she said, why don't you come over for a while and we'll have a bit of an adventure. So I went over and joined her in Nice in the south of France. And it was just the most amazing experience. I'd probably still be there only for my husband, but I had to come home and get married. I just got a real kind of interest again, then refueled my passion for kind of the French coffee culture, just the simplicity and quality of coffee. Just keep it simple, but keep it good and quality. And that's where as well I set my sights on my Citroen HY van, the funky quirky truck that I have now. Where I first saw it over there. So
and they do have a very simple way of just keeping it simple but really tasty and really beautiful food over there as well.
That's it. They're like, it's the whole thing about West Cork and the provenance of food as well, and they're the agreed. Same, the similar, just keep it simple, quality, good produce, and don't overcomplicate things. It's just, yeah, I think provenance, and when it comes to food and all and drinks and everything within the food industry, is super important.
So when you were when you'd gone to France, you'd already met Sean Ogg at this stage, had you?
I had, yes, I had. We were together, get you. So I'm trying to think of the dates there now.
A long time, obviously.
I was with Sean Ogg then. He was at the height of his career then, playing rugby at that time. So he didn't have the opportunity to come over to see me, unfortunately, because it's such an idea. I had the most beautiful apartment in the old centre of Nice, and just walk over to the promenade in the morning after having my coffee and my pan au chocolat. And
gorgeous. Of course, it's so romantic there as well. And it's such a pity he did miss out in that time, you know, but I suppose it also gave you time to think about what you really wanted.
But you didn't
make the decision then, because you came home and you ended up doing your master's and everything, and then you ended up in London. There was still a lot more of you and your learning, your education and your corporate career before the Quirky Kitchen ever came about. So tell us a bit about that.
I took the long route around, I think. You see, I did my major in college was economics, I guess. So I suppose I wanted to just put that into practice for a while and see if that was where the future would take me. But so I went and worked in the finance world, and I don't think I ever enjoyed it realistically. The idea of food and opening my own business was always in the back of my head. And I just remember having endless conversations with people about, God, I'd love to own this or I'd open that. Or I'd be walking down the street, oh, look at that building there with the amazing coffee shop. And then all my friends and family are actually, here she goes again. I'm like,
I know all about it, Siobhan, don't worry.
Always constant picking away at my head. So I continued with the finance for a while, and then an opportunity came up to do a master's, an international master's in marketing with Smurfit Business School in Dublin. So I was like, okay, this is a super opportunity. It's a world-renowned educational program, and it was in conjunction with, it was a fellowship with Board BM.
Amazing.
So I was like, oh my God, this is just perfect for me. So I applied for that, and just had to jump through hoops. Again, it's difficult to get into. So between tests and aptitudes and all that, and psychometric and analytic and all that kind of carry on. So I got it eventually, and that, as I said, really refueled my passion again. And I was like, yeah, food is definitely where it's at for me.
Yeah. And you see, the great thing for you, Siobhan, as well, is that, you know, going through this, your corporate, you were getting in through the food area, but like having that finance and marketing of the food business behind you is, you know, it's something else to be able to do that before you start your own business. It's fantastic.
It's great, yeah, because you do need the business background as well. You know, it's great. You have all, like, I mean, it's great to have all the ideas and the creativity, and that's hugely important. That's the main thing, obviously, but you need a little bit of a business brain and, you know, to kind of reel in the kind of notions and nonsense at times as well, to kind of just to reel you in and kind of go, look, you have to pay for this somehow as well, you know. So so I'm lucky I have a bit of both,
you were, how long were you were in London for? What, 18 months was it?
Yeah, I was around that. So yeah, that was
were you married at this stage? Now, were you after getting married to Sean over this stage?
No, I wasn't married at this stage. No, I went off to London for 18 months and I left the hobby at home. And then the minute I came home, he proposed. So I think
said you're never leaving me again.
Yeah, so I went to London. So part of the fellowship with Board BA and Smurfit Business School was just to promote Irish small up and coming food companies in the UK, just to kind of help infiltrate them into the supermarkets and different supply chains over there. So so that was a huge learning curve. I learned so much. Like, I'm still using different things from that experience up until this day. Like
So you came home then, in what year did you come back to Ireland?
I came back to Ireland in 2014-15, I think.
2014. So you kind of continue your corporate roles over here then with different companies in Ireland?
So I kind of worked in the marketing capacity, just kind of freelance. Just doing a lot of freelance stuff. I think I always really enjoyed kind of the notion of working for myself, and I didn't really enjoy the kind of corporate roles and being kind of stuck to a desk and all that kind of stuff. I think I always was a bit more of a free spirit and just liked, you know, doing different things and a bit of variety every day and that kind of thing. So like the idea of owning a mobile food truck then came into my head, and I was kind of just doing some research on that for ages. There's so much involved in it. People just don't realize how much work, because I suppose specifically for me, I wanted to source the Citroen HY van. Like, I didn't want,
which would have been huge.
That was the only one. That was either that or nothing, really, because funny, when I was working in London, I lived at Canary Wharf, and one day I was coming out of the tube station, and right outside Canary Wharf there was one of these big Citroen HY vans, but I was this is a sign, total sign. So I was like, geez, definitely getting one of those. So I kind of started working on it when I came back, and as I said, they're quite rare to find. So that I was just tipping away, like, at the notion, like, quietly, because people were sick of me talking about opening up something. So I was like, I'm not going to tell anyone this time, and I'm just going to keep quiet and surprise them all one of these days. So yeah, eventually I found the truck and I got it
kitted out.
Yeah, so there's a lot involved, obviously, with the HSE requirements, and you know, you have to have stainless steel backgrounds and sinks and all that.
It's basically like a commercial kitchen and on wheels. So
correct, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So got all that done from a guy in Dublin, and then obviously the most important part is the coffee machine. So it took me a couple of months to have like source the exact coffee, the right coffee machine as well. And
yeah, which one did you end up going for in the coffee machine?
The Simonelli. So
oh, yeah.
My coffee supplier. So like, so our
sourced
coffee,
it.
Are they sourced it for us as well?
Brilliant.
So yeah, our and coffee supplier.
That's Tony, isn't it, from West Cork Coffee?
Yes.
Yeah,
tremendous, he's amazing. Tony, I call him. He's brilliant.
Tremendous Tony, exactly. Because he's amazing. Like, he's amazing. So he helped you source the machine, but he also does fantastic training with all his suppliers as well. Anyone who supplies his coffee, which I think
he's
is
amazing.
A wonderful add-on service. Yeah, amazing.
Definitely, because I mean, it's so important, like, to be able to produce quality, good coffee. Like, and I think a lot of people just think you press the button and out it comes, and hey presto, you have your coffee. But it's much more scientific, and you know, if you don't have good coffee, you don't have a good business.
I agree completely. It is much more scientific, and I think the thing is that people do notice the difference of, you know, when they're handed a good coffee. And I was down with you a few weeks ago, and a gorgeous cup of coffee. And let me tell you, your sandwiches and your treats were divine. Also, thoroughly enjoyed them, so that was great. But you know, I think one of the things, and for me, you know, when you're changing career, especially when we're a little bit older and we've had that corporate career behind us, yes, we have that experience, but it's nearly like we look at risks differently. And I love Brené Brown, and I listen to her all the time, and I watch a lot of her TED chats and her videos, and I have her podcasts. But she's a great advocate about vulnerability, and actually about, you know, describing it as uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure, and about we have to be vulnerable in order for us to make those decisions, to get out of our comfort zone, that, you know, to, I suppose, forces us to loosen control a bit. And I know from being in corporate world for so long, you are kind of in that, I suppose, comfort zone. You're kind of in those controls. So it's a very different thing when you want to just turn around and making that leap of faith. So I mean, did you feel vulnerable yourself? I mean, telling people, you know, you were saying there that you didn't bother telling anybody. You said, I'm just going to do it. You know, about making that leap of faith. How did you feel about all of that?
Yeah, it can be scary. I mean, because I had been talking about it for so long, and then finally it was coming to realization. I was like, oh my God, geez, have I made the right decision? I've bought my truck now, and there's no turning back. Jesus, my parents will kill me. Like, I'm 40 years of age, for God's sake, I'm worrying about my parents killing me. Like, it is a bit scary. It's like, geez, I have to pay for all this, and have I made the right decision? And then sometimes you're just like, you overthink things, and if you think too much, you'll never do anything. It kind of stops you in your tracks. So I believe, I mean, you just control the controllable, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And sometimes the best plan is no plan. I know it sounds a bit airy fairy, but I kind of believe in that more now, so more than ever, because the whole quirky kitchen thing, really, it all kind of happened quite organically after buying the vehicle. I initially trialed it out in my granny's farm, again, up in Farnahoe Farms. They do Christmas trees. So I said, oh, sure, my uncle's like, why don't you try, see how it goes up here, and just kind of have a soft opening or whatever, you know, just see how you go. So yeah, I tried it out there, and the current proprietor, I'm currently operating out of Barrett's Barn in Ashannon, and their courtyard. So the current owner, John Barrett, happened to call in one day for his usual annual Christmas tree, and he came over for a hot chocolate with his kids, and he was like, oh my God, this is amazing, this is such a funky, cool vibe. And I was like, oh, thanks very much. And he's like, do you know what, where this would look great? And I was like, okay, where? He's like, in my yard down below the pub. And I've been there ever since. So I mean, sometimes, you know, things just happen out of
the blue,
organically. So
and actually is a great spot because you can get parking. There's loads of seating there. And of course, the garden's beautiful there by the river. I just sat by the river on one of the benches and it's so peaceful as well. But you had a stream of people just coming all the time. And I was sitting there, I suppose, for about 20 minutes, half an hour. And it was nonstop. It's a great location. And because does he have a kitchen in the bar itself?
No,
which is brilliant. So when he reopens again, you're going to be there full force with people actually having their pints and wanting a sandwich or a treat or whatever, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, I think we'll complement each other. I mean, obviously, we'll just have to wait and see how the dynamics unfold and stuff when they do reopen. I think on Monday now, which is such a... there'll be certain, complementary, obviously, as you said, sandwiches, but people might have a few drinks, like sandwich, or the designated driver probably want to have
their coffees,
Coke or whatever, so they'll be having their coffees and their cakes and all that, so... You might give me an opportunity to expand my menu as well. You never know. Yeah. I'm always thinking about different options.
Yeah.
The wheels and cogs are always turning my brain. My brain's always coming up with funky questions.
Exactly.
Just some more
savory treats in the afternoon. Well, I suppose really that would be the weekends because I'm sure the pub doesn't open during the day. During the week, I don't know myself, but that's it, Vaughan, isn't it? As you said, it'll happen organically. Whatever's to be is to be. But
if you start putting obstacles in your way or putting doubts or going, geez, what happens now if this happens or that? Sometimes you have to think of the positive rather than focusing on
exactly
the negative.
And just go with the flow, as they say. Because you also, I know, you got all your education background in your economics and your French and your marketing and your master's, the whole lot. But you went to Ballymaloe like I did, but you did the tea shop course?
The tea shop course.
Lovely.
My family bought me that for Christmas 1 year, start your own tea shop course, because I've been banging on about opening something for years. They were like,
yeah.
She does this, she might actually do it. So I did that in 2010.
Fab.
Yeah, amazing. Such an amazing experience. So it was actually run by Jarena herself and her brother Rory.
Yeah. And their sister, was their sister involved as well doing the business side of it?
Blomisberg. It's all well and good. You have to obviously have the creative kind of what to cook and bake and all the lovely projects.
Yeah.
But Blown, it obviously gives you the hard facts and kind of going, look, it's not
a
baking brown bread and off the go. She gives you the kind of wake up call about the business side and kind of how to kind of avoid wastage and save money here, there, and different kind of little tips and tricks and costings and making up menus and pricing. And you forget about all these things. Because I think when you're creative, you've got all the ideas, but you forget about.
You do, and actually, she does. She makes it's very clear about the little things that you'd be going, oh yes, I need to add that in, or I need to make sure that covered. And
it's amazing, and small things she said that just resonated with me. She said, have clear waste bags so you can see what's going into them. And
it's amazing. Very
something simple the little like things. That.
As she calls it, the systems of a business, of a food business, and of course waste is one of the systems. And she was great for me just around your business plans and your standard operating procedures and how you cook and what you cook with it. I just think it's a fantastic course to be able to do. And I know she does a business course separately as well that people can go to, but a wealth of knowledge, all of them together. Yeah. I mean, having Jarena, Rory, and Blanet do it all amazing. Together is fantastic. It's just,
it's it was a great experience, I must say. And it's just kind of building up my repertoire all these years. Kind of, a lot of people are kind of going, geez, what's she going to do next? Now, looking back, I was kind of just adding to everything. So I needed all the things that I did throughout the years to create the Quirky Kitchen.
I suppose for you, Siobhan, I know you're down there in Barrett's now as well, but COVID has been probably a positive for your business because there hasn't been anything open. So I'd say you've done pretty well throughout the year, have you?
Yeah, I mean, initially during the kind of the hard lockdowns, like it was probably busier then than it is now, but because people within the local area, like they'd come down and bring, because there's plenty of space for children and stuff, so they just come down, and it was like a little outing or kind of an escape from the house, like, so it was really busy at the start, like, which is great. People were even saying to me, like, oh my God, like, what you've done for the village is amazing, like, you've saved our sanity. And I was like, oh my God, that's so nice to hear. It was,
that's just lovely. Like
my humanitarian, I'm going to get the Nobel Peace Prize next year, I think. people are actually constantly saying to me, oh my God, you've been such a great addition to the village, and you know, only for you we'd have nowhere to go. And I was like, oh, that's really nice of you to say. So it's then that kind of qualifies your kind of existence there, and you're kind of going, oh, I did make the right decision. Yes, this
me.
Like, it's days or like that, or comments like that.
But I suppose if we look at it, Siobhan, and getting into the business of food, it's really at the end of the day, we just want people to enjoy our food, or people to be happy, or to that's what I find about food. I think it's, you know, whether I'm teaching or cooking for people, I just think it's all about that person really enjoying it and bringing people together through food. And if you can do that, it's a win-win, really, isn't it?
It's fantastic, yeah. It's just the simple things that are just so relevant, and that's kind of came to the fore, particularly during COVID as well. Like, just keep simple things are so important, and just to savour quality, good times, and good food, and good coffee, and, you know, just it's that kind of, those kind of things that are important, and just kind of family time surrounding all that, and interacting with friends, and that kind of way around food, and, you know, not sweating the big stuff, you know, just enjoying life and not worrying about chaos and kind of everyday life, you know, in the rat race that we were kind of caught up in, you know.
Yeah. And now let's talk about Sean Ogg, because he's well known to everybody in the GAA circles, of course, but he's full-time working in finance now, isn't he, Siobhan?
He is, yeah.
So he must be a good help to you now, you know, just looking at there, you know, helping you with the business. Is he a good supporter of you?
Yes, he's been amazing. He's just super supportive. He's like my biggest fan, really, I suppose. But he's really good with the finances. Like, because as I was saying earlier, like, I'm more of the creative side of things. Like, my brain is more creative than kind of financial or analytical. Yeah. Even though I did study it, it's not within me inherently. So he kind of looks after the finances, or he'd be kind of reeling me in when I'm getting kind of crazy ideas or kind of losing the run of myself. He'd be like, hey, a second. So he's the sensible one, and I'm the flaky one, apparently. But no, he's brilliant. He helps with the truck as well on the weekends.
That's great.
He's so good with people, like, and he's great at having the chats and with the regulars, and he brings his hurley with him. He plays hurling with any kind of young up and coming sports stars in the area, so it's really cute. It's like people, they're coming in to see Sean Ogan. It's like
so that's great. That's your marketing. That's all you need there now.
It's all about the little
Adam. Sean Ogg out the front, you know, all the families and the kids will be down to see him.
He's the customer experience man then as well. He's fantastic with the people. Even like he walks the customers out to their cars when it's raining with the umbrellas. It's hilarious.
Oh, that's great.
He's amazing. Oh. Yeah, he's fantastic. He's just got a really good way with people. So we all work well together, so we haven't fallen out yet. Thank God,
exactly. It's good to have the support there. And now, as I was saying to you, like, I did come down, and as I said, great location. Do you think you're going to end up staying there? I know you were looking at a few different spots, or, you know, maybe the possibility of looking at other areas, but does it look like it's going to be Barrett's Bar for a while?
I would think so, yes. At the moment, we've no plans to move anytime soon, so we'll be at Barrett's Bar for the next while anyhow. I suppose the ultimate goal is kind of bricks and mortar, like, but I'd have to sell a few more coffees to be able to do that, I'd say.
I know. But it's good to get your name up and your name out there, which is definitely, you know, you're definitely getting your name out there, which is fantastic. And yeah. What about, so do you make all the stuff that you've got there that you're selling, the beautiful treats and the sandwiches, do you do all of them yourself or do you get any of them brought in?
I do most of them myself. It's a real labour of love, like, in fairness, it's busy. And as I said, we use my free-range eggs from my uncle's farm, and then we use fruits, the apples and rhubarb and all that from the local gardens and stuff. So it's all very homemade and made with love. And you need to have good quality kind of homemade produce. I think it's all the whole thing of harping back to the provenance and the importance of that when producing good food. Like, it's all about what goes into it. And it's all homemade. We started making sandwiches as well recently because there was lots of people requesting them. So I said we'd give it a go. So then we try to use mostly local ingredients for the sandwiches as well, like the kind of West Cork cheeses and West Cork meats, now like corned beef and spiced beef and ham and cheese. And so those kind of...
I had one of your spiced beef and cheese ones. Oh, it was delicious.
Thank you.
And is the bread local then as well? I think it was ciabatta bread that you were using actually on the day I was
there. We used some of the Arbutus bread as well.
So
we're always looking for new suppliers as well. So we try and use as much local as we can. Like, we use the Glen Cross dairy farm milk as well, you know, the Dunman milk.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, I got some when I was down there the last day in the little farmer's market there. Gorgeous. I love it. And I got some of the buttermilk and just came home and made soda bread. And it just makes, like, the white amazing soda bread. It's a totally different taste when you've got the right milk, when you're using the right stuff.
We're so lucky to live in West Cork. Like, it's just phenomenal. It looks local, good quality produce. Like,
absolutely. And you've got, of course, Wildflower Bakery is going to be opening there soon, which is fantastic.
So yeah, I'll be able to run over for my rolls in the morning.
Exactly. He'll be able to produce some for you now, which is, you know, supporting another local business.
Exactly. Inishannon's just becoming the new gourmet hub of Cork, West Cork. I think it's great. There's loads of lovely new ventures popping up. So
there is. And I think also, like, if you look at it, the growth in Inishannon, because there is houses popping up all over Inishannon now as well.
Big area.
Exactly. And they've got the go ahead to build another, I don't know how many, somebody was saying 500 houses to me the other day. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. So, you know, it's not that far from the city. I mean, take 20 minutes. That's all.
It's a super location. Like, you're
in location.
Bishopstown in 15 minutes. You've got Kinsale on your doorstep as well, which is bursting with gourmet treats as well. So
exactly. And just around the corner then from, I mean, I went on from Inishannon there just down to Inchidani Beach, and it's only a half an hour, which is just by Clonakilty. So really, you're in between the city and West Cork, which is a perfect place for people to live. So I think that's definitely going to be a big growth area in the next 5 years, which is going to be a fantastic view. So hopefully you'll be moving from the quirky kitchen food truck into the quirky kitchen building, wherever that
might be. That's the dream. It's like a big old country manor now, like something like the Inishannon Hotel and Park, my quirky kitchen truck
out the front
in the grounds. That's the dream, but I'll have to make a bit more money.
I know, but you know what, keep on dreaming. As I said, I'd love that myself, a big old farmhouse, and have people come down and shop and do cooking lessons and all that.
Gorgeous.
That's
the dream, Clara.
Exactly. Siobhan, maybe we need to talk about this offline.
I think so. It's a date,
exactly. But yeah, I agree. It is, especially the Irish kind of way of looking at things. So, but you're not only doing, you don't just have the food truck there in Inishannon. So tell us about, because I know you cater for events as well, Siobhan. So tell us a little bit about that.
That was the initial plan, to do like events, like weddings and festivals and all that kind of stuff before COVID kicked in. But yeah, so we do supply our truck for services. So whether you're getting married, so we supply like tea, coffee, treats, nibbles, bites, whatever. We can customize the menu to suit the needs of the customers. So, or you can have like your Prosecco or whatever before or after the church of your wedding. Or the latest thing now is kind of schools renting the trucks out for kind of to say thank you to the teachers. Kind of
amazing. Teacher
treat day. Yeah, yeah. Or just, yeah, kind of corporate days and kind of having coffee just to thank their staff members and that kind of stuff. So there's lots of inquiries and lots of different avenues to pursue. So we'll be doing all that as well now that the world is opening up. So it's great. There's loads of opportunities and
loads of opportunity. And I, of course, I love those events, you know, from an event style as in wedding style. And I've been to a few kind of pop-up weddings and I love having the little food trucks there.
They're fab and they're really kind of photographing. Everything's kind of, you know, all about the photos and stuff, especially for weddings. So I suppose that's our truck that is kind of funky looking. So it kind of,
yeah,
you know, it's for the bride and groom's kind of look back on as well. And
yeah,
I love all that kind of stuff, just kind of designing and creating and decorating with flowers. And, you know, it's more of the kind of creative element of stuff as well.
Exactly. So, and it's true, you know, I know you're called the Quirky Kitchen, but I think people are, especially through COVID and because weddings have changed so much now, they're looking at smaller, quirkier weddings and how they're going to actually have nicer events. And a lot of people are turning towards the festival theme look, which, of course, you'd fit in perfectly to. You'll just have to bring Sean over there with his hurley now to play with all the lads.
we've got it all at the Quirky Kitchen. We've got all angles covered,
Siobhan, listen, it was absolute pleasure chatting with you. You know, I think you're a force to be reckoned with. I am so looking forward to seeing what's going to be, how you're going to grow and what's going to be happening with the Quirky Kitchen over the next few years. I'll definitely be back down to you, of course, this summer. So thank you so much for taking time out today. It was really lovely to chat with you.
You too, Clara. Thanks so much for your time.
You're so welcome.
We'll talk about that farmhouse the next
week. We will. Absolutely. Absolutely. So everyone, thank you so much for tuning in today. You can find Siobhan on Instagram and Facebook under the Quirky Kitchen. So that's Quirky with an E-Y, Q-U-I-R-K-E-Y. Give her a follow. And you can also DM Siobhan with any queries for any events that you might be holding. I know this is going to be a lot of them. Or else, better still, pop down and visit her. She's very approachable and she's there in Barrett's Bar on the main street, and just grab a gorgeous coffee and a homemade treat and sit in the garden. So thank you again for tuning in. Remember to subscribe, like and follow so you won't miss any of these wonderful food stories that I have on coming out. Thanks again to Red FM for the production of this podcast. I'll be back in a few weeks with another fabulous story from another fabulous business in Cork.